I'm very happy now to welcome Lydia Smith. She's producer and director of the documentary film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, which opens this weekend at the CCA Cinematheque here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So this is a documentary about six people on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela in Spain. What is this Camino? How did it come to be a pilgrimage route?
Well, apparently this particular route has been around for ages, and there's even stories that prehistoric man from all over Europe would walk across Europe kind of chasing the sun to the most western point, which is considered to be Finisterre, the end of the earth. And then it became, I guess, a Celtic route, and then when the remains of St. James were discovered, they built a cathedral, and it became a Catholic pilgrimage endorsed by the Pope at the time. And then hundreds of thousands of pilgrims from all over Europe started making the trek, walking all the way across the continent to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. And then it's been up and down. It was at its height in the Middle Ages in the 12th and 13th century. And then it kind of went dormant for a while, and it's really experiencing a resurgence now in the last 5 years. It's just grown exponentially, practically.
Why do you suppose that is?
I think it's because it's such a kind of magical experience, and it's so open. There's not a lot of dogma or rules or regulations about it. It's really about finding your path, finding your way, and kind of getting in touch with yourself instead of something that's very regulated. I mean, you can get up early and start walking and stop at, let's say, 1 o'clock, or you can start walking at 9 and walk till 5. You can go to Mass every day or never go to Mass. I mean, so it's all about finding what works for you. And I also think our society is really ready to look beyond just consumerism and, you know, buying more stuff and watching lots of TV. But really, what's the meaning of life and why are we here? And I think the Camino helps us realize each of us has our own purpose here on the planet. And it's a matter of finding our purpose, not one big thing out there that is for everybody. It's very individual.
What's interesting about the film is that a lot of the people whom you film, maybe everybody, they really get what they need, but it's not always what they thought they needed or what they were in fact looking for.
Yes. There's a saying on the Camino, you get what you need, not what you want.
Right.
So it seems to hold true.
So how did you choose the people whom you filmed?
Well, of all the people you see in the film, only one I knew beforehand, and that was Annie. And she and I have known each other for quite a while, and we attend the same spiritual center. And when she heard I was doing this project, she just was immediately like, I want to be involved. I want to walk. And I knew I needed at least one person that would be completely open and vulnerable and have the courage to show what was going on the inside. And also I needed somebody to film the first day. But everybody else I kind of picked up along the way. And for me, it was really about letting the Camino cast the film. I didn't want to come saying, okay, you know, this is the way it is, and this is my vision, and this is who needs to be in it. I really wanted to be open to letting who be in the film who was meant to be. And so I would just talk to people as we walked, and usually I'd spend a little bit of time telling them what my vision was for the film, and everybody except one person said yes. And we actually originally filmed about 15 different people doing the Camino. And it was important to me, too, though, to have a variety of ages, nationalities, reasons for doing the Camino, religious, spiritual, or none, because
right,
that's really what you find on the Camino is a huge range of people.
I was wondering, I mean, first of all, were you walking yourself? How were you getting yourself and your camera crew around? And how did you deal with the fact that people walk at such different speeds? So even if a bunch of people started out together, they end at such different times.
Yeah. Well, I walked myself just independently with no intentions of doing a film in 2008. So it was there that I really got the pilgrim experience and really felt it. And then I returned the next year with essentially three camera crews. We had two vans, A camera and B camera, which consisted of camera, sound, director, someone driving, doing logistics, and an assistant. And then I had a roving cameraman. And with the vans, essentially what we did is we'd film somebody in the morning, do an interview, film them walking, film them having lunch, whatever. And then we'd get in the van and we'd go backwards or forwards to find somebody else to shoot. And essentially, we shot each of our pilgrims about every 3 to 4 days. I didn't want to film anyone too much because then they wouldn't have their own pilgrim experience.
Right.
So it was a really fine line of letting them have their experience and being there for great moments. So it was a walking a razor's edge in some way.
We're talking to Lydia Smith, producer and director of the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. One of the things I like about the film is that you can kind of redefine what you mean by spiritual journey in this film. So it turns out that, I mean, some people who really were not doing it for religious or spiritual reasons at all, whatever those words mean, again, they mean different things to different people, but one of them, for example, has to walk through a great deal of pain, and there was a kind of pretty profound growth or change in that. One person was very pious and religious, and her brother was a total atheist, but you really got to see which one of those two was more calm and peaceful and tranquil inside, and it wasn't the pious person.
Yeah, it really is. I think that's what makes the Camino so appealing, is that it does speak to somebody that's a complete atheist to somebody that's very devout, and really gives everybody the kind of journey they need to grow and to be more of who they are.
There's also there's a lot of different kinds of wisdom in it. One of them is just simply about baggage. I mean, you were talking about consumer culture before, but both metaphorical and literal baggage get shed along the way.
Yeah, and that is such a big thing of the Camino. I mean, when you walk, people are constantly talking about what they have and what they can get rid of. And it's really quite fun. In the first couple stages, you see at the albergues, the pilgrim hostels, people that have just left things like clotheslines, big bottles of shampoo, trowels, you know, all these really amazing things that they really don't need. And it is such an analogy for life that we really don't need all these things to make us happy. That's not where happiness lies.
There's also a piece of wisdom in it, I think, about competition and competitiveness. And one of the people in the film, I think it might have been one of the Catholic religious folks, I can't remember exactly, but basically says...
It was Annie, yeah, the American.
Right. She says this, but also there's one of the people speaking in Spanish, who I think was a Catholic priest or something, saying, if you do it from a place of competition, it doesn't work. And Annie really lived that out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the same thing with life. You know, we compete against each other. Really, it's only about finding our own path. And we're not in any race with anybody else. And that becomes very clear on the Camino. And for Annie, it was such a visceral experience that she had to go her pace. She could not go anyone else's pace. And that's something, too, that in all the years, I've been making this film for 5 years, and I've talked to so many people. And this one friend of mine who is a medic and was talking about that's why people get tendonitis, is because they're trying to walk at a pace that's not their own. Hence, they're using muscles and tendons in ways they're not used to. And so that's how injuries come about. And I just thought that's so interesting. And I think it is a reflection of life, that when we're not on our own path, when we're trying to compete with somebody else, that's when things aren't working. But when we're really following our own purpose and our life vision, then that's when things flow. Not to say it won't be challenging, but at least you're on your own path.
I was wondering, I mean, you walked it yourself, and you also made this film, and I was wondering how each of those processes changed you, changed your own life.
Well, you know, there's a saying on the Camino, the real Camino starts when you get home. And for me, the walking was really pure pleasure. I mean, I did have my blisters in the beginning, and there were times that were tough, but most of all, more than anything, it was really just a joy, and I adored it and loved it. And I had no intentions of making the film when I was walking, but when people found out I was a filmmaker, they would say, oh, you should do a documentary on the Camino. And I resisted it for many months, and then finally I started. And for me, all the lessons are kind of all wrapped up into one. I think one of the big things I got out of the Camino and doing the film was learning to trust myself and learning to trust my intuition and kind of let myself be guided rather than just purely basing all my decisions on my intellectual reasoning. And so that was really a big part of it. And the other big learning I got from both making the film and walking was realizing I was a lot more capable than I thought. I've underestimated myself. And I've spent most of my working life supporting other people's visions. And I was a really great support person. I was a really great producer. I could make things happen for other people. But it was this film and it was the Camino that really cemented into me that, yes, my dreams matter. What I think is important is important as well. And so that was really a big thing for me. So for me, the Camino and the making the film are completely intermingled. The lessons are kind of flow from one and the other. And I feel especially blessed because making the film was extremely challenging, far more difficult than walking. But I had the content. I had all my subjects of my film talking about things that would encourage me and uplift me and inspire me to keep going. And there was just multiple times when I'd be watching footage and somebody would say exactly what I needed to hear when I was feeling discouraged and thinking about giving up and not finishing the film. I would hear what I needed to in my own material.
We're talking to Lydia Smith about the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago. Did you have the ability to follow up with any of the subjects of the film after they got home? Because one does wonder, especially with certain people, what they took with them back into their regular lives.
Oh, completely. I mean, I've stayed in touch with all of them, and they've actually all, in their own way, been incredibly supportive and helpful in finishing the film. Many of them helping with translations and subtitling and or fundraisers. But they all are doing well and kind of continue to grow. And I am very close to all of them. I mean, they've all become friends as well. And, you know, there's a very special bond that was created in the making of the film. And so I don't get to see them all as much as I'd like. But I did get to see Misa and Tomas, Wayne and Annie all came to our premiere in Santiago. So that was very special.
Did you find that on the Camino, I mean, there are people there from different countries, and so you've got all kinds of Germans, and you've got people from Spain and from Mexico and from the United States, and they all bring with them their national cultural traits, which have strengths and weaknesses. Did you see any kind of, like, the Americans are facing this kind of challenge and the Germans that kind of thing?
You know, I can't say I've ever noticed anything specific in that way. The only thing that really comes to mind is I always notice the Germans drink way more beer than anyone else. The Germans and the Dutch, and then the Spaniards that are drinking a lot of wine. But, you know, now that you mention it, for example, we did follow a bunch of Germans, and none of them really had any physical issues, including this woman who was like 55. But, you know, I think the physical issues, in my experience and what I've seen, is really comes from not going at your own pace. It really comes from pushing yourself too hard. You know, it's such an American quality to push yourself too hard and not take care of yourself. So I really appreciate that question. I love that. But yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that much. What I did experience, especially on my own Camino, though, is how different people are culturally in terms of what they talk about and how private they are. And I lived in Spain for 6 years, and I lived in Italy, and where people are very open. And I walked with this guy from Sweden, and he was really offended by a lot of my questions were too private. And I started walking then with Spaniards, which are much more like me. So it's just that part was really, really visceral to me, for sure, was how people opened up in terms of what country they were from.
Now, does anybody ever walk the Camino with their dog?
You know, I had a friend that did, and I've heard of it. And I did meet this couple that found some puppies, and I walked with them for a couple of days. And I'd say it's pretty challenging because my guess is most of the albergues don't allow dogs. And it would be really hard to camp or bring your own tent and camp because so many of these hostels are in small little towns and they don't have, you know, a field behind them where you could pitch a tent, and the fields leading into the town are working fields. So it happens, but I'd say pretty rarely and probably pretty challenging to deal with. We did follow a couple that did it by horseback, and they had their dog with them as well, but they had the challenges of finding a place for their horses. So generally speaking, I think the dog stayed wherever the horses were. So they were already dealing with, you know, finding a place to have the horses spend the night.
Have people been inspired to do the Camino after seeing your film?
Yeah, actually, I'd say quite a few have. Even when I just, for the years that I was fundraising and finishing the film, I had several trailers online, and I heard of people that got inspired just from our 6-minute trailer or our 20-minute trailer. And it's funny because I really didn't make the film to try and inspire people to go. It was really about inspiring people to follow their own Camino, be that walking the Camino or starting a homeless shelter or gardening more, whatever it may be. But it definitely has had that effect on quite a few people.
Are you doing a tour? Are you going to places around the country where the film is opening?
Yes, I'm essentially doing a pilgrimage of sorts right now. I financed an RV, and we are taking the film on tour. We're distributing ourselves, which is pretty unusual. And at the same time, I think it really makes sense because I'm the one that's kind of the most passionate about the film and really working a lot with outreach and getting people to know that the film is happening. And so what we've done is we've been in California so far, Chico, Santa Cruz, Monterey, San Diego, and now we're moving through to Arizona and then on to New Mexico, then Colorado, Kansas City, St. Louis, Nashville, Tennessee, and then I'll be flying home for a couple of weeks in April and starting on tour again, going through the South and up through the East Coast. But that said, we're also joining with an organization, actually we'll be live by next week, called TUG, and we're going to be able to do screenings on demand. So even if we're not coming through on the tour, somebody in, let's say, North Dakota wants to see the film, they can organize a screening and have it play at their local theater.
The film is called Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago, and it's on the web at CaminoDocumentary.org. That's the website. It opens this weekend here in Santa Fe at the Cinematheque at the CCA. Lydia Smith is producer and director. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you so much. And I just wanted to let everybody know that they can follow our tour and pictures of where we're going on our Facebook page, which is the Camino Documentary.
Excellent. So before we go, tell us just quickly what dates you will be in New Mexico.
Yes, I'm very excited. We're opening in both Santa Fe and Albuquerque on March 14th, Friday. And I'll be doing a Q&A in Albuquerque on Friday the 14th, and then in Santa Fe on Saturday the 15th. And then we'll be doing a three-day stint in Taos, and I will be there on Monday the 17th. And we'll be playing the 17th, 18th, and 19th in Taos.
Excellent. And once more, we've been talking to Lydia Smith, producer and director of the film Walking the Camino, Six Ways to Santiago.